ladies and gentlemen, to talk about yesterday's capital budget meeting here in the city of Belleville. Please welcome His Excellency, Mayor Mitch Panchuk. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lauren Brooker.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day today to talk to us as the chief magistrate of our community. Yesterday at the council chambers, there was discussion, of course, about our capital budget. And if you got to sit through a budget, the capital budget would be the fun one. That's where you decide on super fun items like street upgrades and pickup trucks and new desks and things of that exciting nature. Capital projects, not operating projects, but these are things that the city needs to run every day, but to improve or to be replaced.
Yeah, exactly. So the city, we operate our budget in two parts. The capital, which is basically not non-person items, so, you know, buildings and roads and vehicles and all the items that we are allowed to depreciate over time as well. And then later in the spring, we'll be dealing with the operating budget, and that's the people that we pay to provide the services and to and the programs that we provide residents. All those things will come in the spring. So it's a very important part, because it is just under $37 million worth of spending, but it's, you know, it's much more of a long-term plan when you deal with capital items, because it takes years to complete some of the projects, and, you know, we expect them to last 25, 30, 50 years in the future.
Yeah, and quite frankly, a lot of this stuff is stuff that I think the taxpayer just doesn't really pay attention to, but expects to happen, especially when you talk about infrastructure. You know, it is up to a homeowner to take care of their home, or a business owner to take care of their business. And it's up to the city to take care of some of the things that, you know, are under the ground or on the ground or whatever the case might be.
Yes. And, you know, one something a lot of people don't know is there is significant amounts of provincial legislation that puts lots of requirements on us in terms of what we call asset management. So, you know, a lot of people in their house or their businesses might, you know, wait until they have to do their roof, and then they decide okay, now we have to do the roof, and they figure out where to find the money. For us, we have to have a long-term plan of assessing our facilities and not being in the position where all of a sudden next year we have to do something. So there's a lot of requirements when it comes to the capital side of the city's operations, and we have to consider all those things in it as well. And you know, it's an expensive, we're a big city. You know, we've got well over 50,000 people living in our community, and we have lots of services that people rely on. And our responsibility as a council is to ensure that they are in good shape and that we continue them in the future.
Well, let's talk about some of the projects that were approved in this just under $36 million budget yesterday. And also, we should point out, no increase in taxes from this particular budget. So talk about some of the big items.
Yeah, so, you know, we had 85 individual projects that were just over $36 million in total cost for us. And that's everything from road reconstruction, some new facilities, repairs of certain things, and some new equipment for our staff. It also includes the Belleville Police Service capital budget, so what they needed in terms of that. So, you know, in terms of some of the big things that people are going to be really looking forward, I think, to seeing completed, you know, Herkimer Avenue from Dundas Street south to the lake, to the Bay of Quinte. That reconstruction project, we've been talking about it since 2013 when we first put funding into it, and we had a little bit of a hiccup with CP Rail trying to get that across there, but finally we're going to have sidewalks and active transportation, bike lanes, but also stormwater management. If you're there when it's raining, you'll see just a huge amount of water that goes down there as it drains into the lake. So we have to redo that to make that safe, and that's going to really allow us to do some work in terms of the expansion of the Bayshore Trail eastward. But, you know, in addition to that, we have a bunch of playgrounds that we're going to be upgrading the playground equipment. You know, COVID has taught us that we're enjoying outdoors much more. So, you know, we have a number of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of upgraded equipment coming. We have sidewalk work we're doing. You know, finally, the folks in the North Park Gardens area and Prince of Wales are going to see Orchard Drive done. So that's the next step in there, where we do a full $5.9 million project to reconstruct roads in that area and as we continue going. But, you know, we have intersection improvements. We begin the environmental assessment work that's required to do work along Point Anne, Dundas Street, east on the city up to Point Anne Road. You know, we're going to continue to do more traffic calming. You know, we are going to continue to work on the relocation of the Belleville Ag Society. There's funds in this budget for that. The Belleville Commons, which is our plans to redo the Market Square and the property now that we own in front of City Hall along the river, there is funds into that. And, of course, you know, there's a new dog park that is going to be coming to the urban part of Thurlow Ward, as well as a monument next year to recognize the 100th anniversary of the discovery of insulin and how to treat diabetics. Dr. Collup was a local a person from Belleville who was instrumental in that. So we're going to have a monument and a little area for people to sit along the Bayshore Trail to celebrate that, and a lot of other projects that people I think will appreciate. What I'm really, you know, I'm really happy. All 85 projects that were proposed were supported yesterday by council, and it goes right across the board. There are some very short-term, immediate things we will see, but there's also some longer-term work that we're starting, and we get to keep the city current. These are very difficult times with respect to COVID, but we haven't taken our foot off the accelerator in the sense of upgrading our community for future growth.
We heard yesterday that the city received $1.12 million in special funding from senior levels of government for COVID.
Yes, that's resilience funding to try to get us out of that. So that funding is included in this budget. But it's going almost exclusively towards outdoor upgrades. So those playgrounds that I talked about, the equipment being done, is being funded through that COVID relief resilience funding.
Okay. One of the things I got to ask you is a story today that appears on the CBC, and that is, and I'm just going to read the title of the story here. I'm sure you've seen it. Belleville Council approves budget that includes Devil's Chair. And this is apparently a prisoner restraint chair that the Belleville Police Service has asked for. I guess it's worth $2,800. A group called the Belleville Peaceful Streets Network is concerned that this is not a good piece of equipment and that, quote, nobody deserves that. You know, there is, I guess, some controversy over this chair. I'm not exactly sure what it is yet. Do you have any comment as far as council, you know, funding this piece of equipment?
Yeah.
And did you even know about it? And you know, before you say anything, I'm just going to say, if you read the story, it kind of makes the assumption that our police officers, men and women, wouldn't know how to use this chair properly, and I don't take that very well, because I believe they're very well trained and treat our people who are in custody with the legal respect that they deserve. So I want to get that out. But it's interesting that this story appeared in the CBC today.
Well, and the CBC Ottawa contacted me a number of times yesterday, and I referred them to the Belleville Police Service regarding this piece of equipment. And it is a piece of equipment. It's a tool that the Belleville Police Service use, just like any of the other resources we give them to deal with it. So what I would first say, Lauren, is that the Belleville Police Service deal with a whole range of people every day through doing their jobs. And sometimes they have people who are a danger to themselves or a danger to police officers or a danger to others that have to be restrained. It's part of the job of policing, and it's part of keeping our community safe. This chair is designed to restrain people who are in danger of hurting themselves or hurting someone else. It is widely used with police forces all over the world, not just here. We did not have one. I suggested that the CBC Ottawa contact the Ottawa Police Service, because they have these chairs as part of their equipment. You know, of course, we need to train people properly to ensure that they use not just this chair, but any of the equipment we give them from the Belleville Police Service, and I'm confident that they can do the job. At the end of the day, this is about public safety, and we need to be able to keep individuals safe from harm from either themselves or from harming the police who are just doing their jobs or other people. And so, Council, we received the capital budget from the Belleville Police Service yesterday. It was included in the overall budget. The chief made a presentation, and we approved it without any amendments.
So you did council know about this chair before passing?
Yes, it was included. It's a public document, the budget, and it was included in the budget detail. Anyone that wants to go and see all the items that the Belleville Police Service, or for that fact, the entire budget, mm-hmm. it's available on the city website through our meeting portal, where you can see the documents that we looked at, and it has been public for some time.
Okay, and did anybody on council make any comments about this chair?
None. I would say that we have no concerns about the chair or any of the other equipment that the Belleville Police Service were purchasing.
Okay, so there we go. We followed up on the story. And again, I really want to say that I understand that certain items that police, law enforcement, hospitals use can be difficult to look at. They're difficult pieces of equipment. But the assumption that the people who are experts might not know how to use them, that kind of gets me upset, right? You're making an assumption without any knowledge. And we have wonderful people who work in our police department and in our hospital, and they're trained when to know how to use this stuff.
Yeah. You know, listen, and I understand that increased scrutiny, particularly in the last year, of police services around the world and the techniques they use in terms of dealing with everything from public protesters to public health in terms of mental health issues is under scrutiny, and we need to do a better job. Absolutely get that. But, you know, this whole process where people are suggesting defunding the police, taking away their resources or the materials, you know, at the end of the day, we rely on our police service to keep our community safe, and they do a very good job here in Belleville. Do we have some issues that need to be addressed? Absolutely. And I think the chief, Chief Callahan, when he was on your show before, has shown that he is willing and open to it. But there are some people who are just anti-police, and no matter what the conversation is, they start off by saying that, you know, they shouldn't have cars, they shouldn't have weapons, they shouldn't have any of the tools they need to be able to do their jobs to protect us. And that's not the answer either. The answer is somewhere in between, where we make sure that the resources we provide the police are adequate for them to do their jobs and are in the safety interest of our society and our community. And I'm confident that the budget that was proposed, that council approved yesterday, goes that way. I've had numerous conversations with people who believe, you know, are concerned about, you know, the institution of policing, and I explained to them that the quarrel is not with the city of Belleville or with the Belleville Police Service. The Police Service Act sets out the requirements in Ontario of how to operate a police service and how the municipality's responsibility is, and people should talk about making changes there, then we'd be happy to do it. We've been advocating for changes to the Police Service Act for many, many years through our own community, but also through the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. And in the meantime, they still have a job to do, and I think that the vast majority of our community supports the men and women in the Belleville Police Service and the fine work that they do.
I agree, and I also believe that you're right when you say that you know, the policing and the role of police officers, society has adapted how they do their job. Now, government and the official job description has to adapt with that, and mm-hmm. we need to figure it out. It's as simple as that. Okay.
Can I just say one last thing? You know, I think I heard Chief Callahan say this on your show, and I hear him say it a lot. He says, the public is the police, and the police are the public. And when you hear a chief of police talking about the importance to have the communication channels open between residents and the police service, you know, we cannot just expect the police to protect our community and look out for us. We have to also. And it's a partnership. It's a very collaborative activity. And so, you know, anyone who has concerns about the equipment, you know, don't give me examples of something in the United States or whatever. Give me examples of what you're concerned about that happened here in Belleville, and we're willing to talk about it. But unfortunately, you know, we get all these comments about what happened in other communities, not Belleville, and then people think that we have to take action on that here. So, you know, I just, I'm really pleased with Chief Callahan's approach, and I think that, you know, we have the best interests of the community at heart, and I'm satisfied with the equipment request they had, and that we're supplying them with what they need to do their jobs.
Okay. All right. Procter & Gamble, as we know, has an outbreak, one of our major employers here in the city. Any thoughts, comments on not only the outbreak there, but this surge in cases in Hastings and Prince Edward?
Well, I'm on a call later on today with area mayors, with health units. We'll get an update from Dr. Oglaza. And the first thing that I would say is that we expected to see numbers rise in our community at some point. You know, from the very beginning, we knew that this was a very dangerous and easily spread virus, and that we had to take steps, and we've done a very good job. I don't know the particulars of Procter & Gamble. I know they are a first-class company, and I did get some information about their steps. You know, and I don't want to speculate on where the folks that have contracted COVID are from, or where they're, you know, what their jobs are at the plant, but I'll let them deal with it. What I would say, though, Lauren, is that everyone has to take a deep breath. You know, this has been a tough year for our community. And, you know, from the very beginning, I've been talking about being compassionate and being understanding. And I know people are at the end of their fuse. Like, they're frustrated, and they're angry, and they're mad, and we've all lost so much. But we have to keep level heads. You know, I was really concerned on the weekend, and I think even on Monday on your show, there are people who are spreading untruthful things. You know, there are comments about busloads of people coming to Belleville from red zones or from lockdown zones to go shopping at the Quinte Mall. That's not true. I heard somebody make a comment saying that they went up to the driver of a bus line, asked the person, the driver confirmed that he had a group of shoppers coming in. You know, so I took the time to call the Quinte Mall, confirmed that there were no buses that were there. I actually called the bus line themselves, and they said that's not true. So somebody's lying about what's going on in our community, and it's just making people more and more frightened. So let's think back to where before COVID, if someone made these, you know, claims, we would never just go along and believe whatever they'd say. We'd verify it. But for some reason, in the world of COVID, people are just jumping to conclusions. So
yeah,
take a deep breath. Protect yourself. Protect your family. We know the things that work to prevent the spread of the virus. And be compassionate. You know, let's understand that it was not a question of, you know, how do we keep COVID out of our community? It was always a question of how can we control it when it comes into our community. And so far, we've done a very good job, and I have full confidence in our plans going forward.
Just a side note, yesterday on the show, we read a statement from the Quinte Mall, and we had Sean from McCoy Bus Lines, yes, all denying all of this, of course, and it's not true. So as we said, folks, even in the gray zone, nobody would take a bus to come to Belleville. There's Walmarts open in the gray zone.
Yeah.
And so it's we need to think about what is reality here. Mayor,
you know, like, again, in other times, you know, we had people who make these, you know, they false or they lie about things. And we always were skeptical. I don't understand why some people are not having that skepticism and saying, well, that doesn't really make sense to us, and let's look for it. I feel badly for McCoy Bus Lines because this is an unfair slight against them. And, you know, we talk about the negative impacts of COVID on businesses. These types of rumors don't help those businesses. And so I think everyone just has to take a deep breath and focus on what's important, and that is washing your hands, social distancing, and when you can't social distance or where you're indoors, to wear a mask. Those things we know work and will help us and our families.
Obviously, you're talking to people about immunization, vaccines. The city is going to have to work with the health unit. The health unit will be getting information from the Ministry of Health and so on. Will you be kept in the, I guess, in the loop when it comes to our community starting to get vaccinated?
Yeah, we're expecting that that this will be coordinated through our health services, so the health unit and the hospital in particular. You know, the vaccines that Canada has been able to acquire and that will be distributed through Ontario, there are certain technical requirements for storage and transportation, and so we're going to be setting all that up. We'll hear more about it, but I have no concerns right now about the fact that, you know, that they will determine what the priority categories are for people to get the vaccine first in Belleville, and between all these great people that have been working flat out since March on this item, they will have a very efficient way to make sure that we get the vaccine to people that need it. And then as soon as we can, you know, give it to the high risk categories and the people that we're concerned about having it spread to, then we're all going to have a much easier existence, and things will return more to normal while the rest of the population gets the vaccine.
Yeah, and I guess a poll came out. Only 16% of people who responded to the poll said they wouldn't get a vaccine,
yeah,
which is really good news. Most people think that it is probably going to be a good thing. And I think that with the announcement that, and we'll talk about this on the show later today, that Britain is going to start right away, and they have and then it won't be that long till the United States starts. We'll have, at least in Canada, a little runway that people will be able to have gone down to see how it affects people, and I think that'll calm some folks down.
Yeah.
Last question, Mayor, before we let you go. A week ago Monday, a tribute to the late Councillor Pat Culhane. Her seat is open now. There is 2 years left on the mandate of this council, so it needs to be filled. What is the latest of that? We heard rumors that there might be a committee that's going to be formed to look at possibly who or how that seat might be filled. What's the latest, Mayor?
Well, there isn't really much to report on it, Lauren. At the December 14th council meeting, we will be getting a report from the city clerk outlining the options council has to fill the vacancy that we declared at the last meeting. And, you know, once we make a decision on which route we'll go, then we'll take those following steps. You know, I am getting a lot of contacts from residents and from associations, wanting to have, if that we are going to appoint people, having a special view of who should be appointed. We have the tradition that we've had in the past where, the people who weren't successful in the election would be activated or be called up for it. So there's a lot for us to have to think about, and we'll make those decisions in due course for the best interests of the city.
Mayor Panchuk, I'm not sure if you got to speak with the mayor of Flavortown today or producer Ted Bradford, but if you guys need to have a conference, that's fine. And otherwise, it was great talking to you today.
Yeah. No, it's and I wish everybody obviously season's greetings. It's going to be a different Christmas this year. I'm probably going to be on before we get there, but again, if I can just remind everybody, just take a deep breath. It's been a heck of a year. You know, a year like no one has ever expected, and we don't want to go back to it. But taking it out on each other doesn't make it any better. And I think that we need to be compassionate and kind. You know, we're the friendly city. We've always been that way. And, there are people who are traveling because of essential reasons. They're working in our hospitals. They're working in facilities. They're having to go to appointments, medical appointments, whatever. We should just understand that and take care of yourself and your family. And we will all get through this, very, very quickly.
Mayor Panchuk, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Lauren. Bye-bye.